It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
You don't get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
That drive deep to right field. It is. Two-run home run for Harper. Three RBIs in the game, and the Phillies take a 5-0 lead.
Let's go. Baseball's in boring. Home run call of the day. Tom McCarthy, Bryce Harper. Phillies, they have now won two in a row. All right, well, if you want to know the longest win streak, currently is the Toronto Blue Jays. They have won four straight. And yes, the standings are all over the place. 10 teams are under 500, with the American League West making up four of those teams. The first place Rangers, they're only at 500. So it's a little bit wacky up and down the standings. I think things are settling in. We're trying to figure out who's going to separate themselves from the pack, and the American League West is not helping us do that. All right, well, speaking of the Rangers, the Rangers are the latest club to call up a high-profile rookie for their Major League debut, with news that the third overall pick in the 2021 draft, pitcher Jack Leiter, is getting the call. Well, he's going to pitch on Thursday. Another top prospect, also in the American League West, who is getting the promotion to the Major Leagues for the first time, is Forrest Whitley. He's the 17th overall selection in the 2016 draft. He's joining the Astros. So you have all these teams now have this infusion of young talent. We saw it at the beginning of the year, to begin the season, and now we're seeing it as just a couple weeks into the April. It's exciting. We love it. And, of course, all of this comes on the heels of the promotion of the top prospect in all of baseball, Jackson Holliday, being promoted just last week. And if you ever want to get a feel for, this is what we're going to talk about today, a feel for the excitement and then the challenges that follow when it comes to the promotion of these guys, look at Jackson Holliday. It was a national holiday, no pun intended, when he was called up last week. I mean, everybody in baseball was talking about this. This was the be-all, end-all. Well, since then, he has one hit in his first 22 at-bats, and he struck out 12 times. Does everyone feel that Jackson Holliday is going to be a really good Major League player? Yes, we all feel this way. But this is the reality. We have to have this introduction as the example of how even the most talented prospect in the majors, it can be a challenge for. Sure, you have some great starts by rookies. There's no question about it. This is what is helping make this season so awesome. Look at guys like Colton Cowser, Shota Imanaga, Michael Bush, Jackson Merrill, Joey Ortiz, Jared Jones, and of course, Pitching Ninja's favorite, or one of their his favorites, Oakland Fireballer Mason Miller. They're great examples. But also understand this. A lot of those names, a lot of those success stories come after the initial reaction, or I'm sorry, the initial introduction coming in a sample, a little bit of a sample last year. In other words, they get a taste of the majors, they go back down, and then they come back and they do really, very well. I mean, not always. I mean, Jackson Merrill, I mean, the guy, kid's 20 years old. He's holding his own in a new position, center field. So not always, but a lot of times, including a guy that we're going to talk to on today's podcast, Mike Trout. We're going to get to that in a second. But to understand some of these challenges, we at Baseball Isn't Boring, we don't just yap about it. We go to the people who understand it, who have been there before, who are in the belly of the beast. And to start with, we went to a couple of managers. I went to Boston's Alex Cora and Cleveland's Stephen Vogt to talk about what it's like from their perspective, the challenges from their perspective of when guys get called up in this day and age of Major League Baseball. And then I talked to a few noteworthy players who I think are great examples and give great perspective. And that is the planet's best player, the aforementioned Mike Trout, and a former top prospect, number two prospect in all of baseball by the time he got called up in 2020, Joe Adell. I got their take on it. All right, but first, let me give you the manager's view. First, I'm going to give you how Alex Cora responded to my question about this subject. And then right after that is Vogt, when we had a similar conversation about a very similar topic. And that is, of course, the challenges this day and age presents these kids coming up. Top prospects, talented, unbelievable, like hype, all of it. But now you're in the major leagues. What's it look like? All right, Cora, then Vogt.
I think the hype, everybody knows that, everybody knows your numbers coming through it. They know, as far as last scouting reports, everybody knows your stuff. It's not like you just show up and, I got two or three starts, without people knowing who I am and they don't know my stuff and you can get away for it with the first three. Information is available. Information is out there. And, we live in an era that social media, they do a good job, just creating the hype for all these players. And it's always been that way here. We've seen it. Well, I've seen it since 2007, right? Or five or whatever. But I think all over the place, we know who's starting for the Rangers now, tomorrow. And everybody's excited about it. We know Holiday was coming here. And that's the biggest challenge for the kids, And people expect these guys to come up here and win 20 games and hit 330 and hit 30 home runs. That doesn't happen, It might happen, but most of the time it doesn't happen. Just got to make sure. In our case, let's say we are in that situation, kind of like make them feel comfortable and be patient with them, and hopefully the Durants happen and Casas and Pedroia and Ellsbury, all those guys. But you got to be patient, right? And I think we've been through this a lot as an organization, and I think we have a pretty good idea how to do it.
I think just the level of talent in today's game, you're coming up and people already have a book on you. Just when we came up, not a whole lot of information they knew about us as young players. But now the scouting and the information we have on the computer kind of know a little bit about the players when they get here. But it's also, you've been being talked about from the time you were in the minor leagues. We were never talked about through the minor leagues. So there's a lot more pressure. There's a lot more clout with you when you get here. And there's all eyeballs on you. Whereas before, when you were a rookie, you just kind of blended in and had time to settle in.
How do you, from your perspective?
Go out and be yourself.
You just, that's the way you tell.
Go out and be yourself. Yeah. Go play. Do what got you here.
Yeah.
You got yourself here. No one got you here.
Yeah.
You earned your way here. Now go play the way you know how.
And the last thing is it easier now? I've had this conversation a lot with guys, how it changed the last 10 years, the acceptance. If you're here to help us, right? Where it used to be, go sit in the corner. Has that dynamic helped?
I think it helps a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think there's some of the old school stuff that I wish was still around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're here, you're part of the team. You're going to go out and help us win tonight. So let's get you comfortable and have some respect for the people who've been here longer. But go get comfortable and go be yourself.
All right. Obviously, great perspective by two guys who knows what's what. Speaking of knowing what's what, Mike Trout is good. I don't know if you know this. He is a guy who made his major league debut on July 8th, 2011. Seems like forever ago, right? He flew out against Seattle starter Blake Beavin while hitting ninth. He hit ninth on July 8th, 2011. People forget, though, that Trout ultimately returned to the minors to begin the following season before being promoted late April. That's a journey that has allowed the future Hall of Famer some perspective on what it takes to succeed, even in this conversation, integrating the importance of playing three sports in high school. It was really great, about 5 minute convo with Mike Trout to talk about this. I thought he gave great perspective in a short amount of time. We appreciate it. All right, here you go. Here's Mike Trout.
One of the things is when you get to the major leagues, you were drafted, mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
Yes. But then you get to the major leagues and like, mm-hmm. holy crap, this is different. How different is it?
Well, if you look at it, it's not different. I think all the stuff that comes around the game that comes with it makes it different. The biggest thing for me was slowing everything down. Mm. You know, you get your first game and your first at bat. It's kind of surreal. Obviously, you worked your whole life to get up to this moment, and there's a lot of adrenaline. There's a lot of like rush you're getting, and sometimes you get out of your approach at what's got you there, and you know that sometimes, I mean, it's not a bad thing because you know you're really excited, but to be able to slow yourself down and instead of trying to hit the ball so far or trying to do so much, just trust yourself and how you prepared yourself, you know, that's how you got there. So I think just being able to slow the game down because it speeds up quick.
I know this is a stupid question. You remember your first?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
And think about how fast that was.
It was.
Yeah.
I felt like I was playing like a video game. It wasn't even like, I couldn't feel anything in my body. It was just the whole adrenaline and, you know, it was obviously a special moment, but, you know, once I kind of figured out just to, you know, trust my work, my approach, instead of trying to do so much out there, I think that's what helped me the best.
The lack of a better term, when we talk about the speed of anything, mm-hmm. we go to the quarterback in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Of the game slows down. Was it, and I've heard a lot of guys lately talk about the balls hit harder. You know, you can be in this in the minor leagues, but the balls hit harder, mm-hmm. the game's faster. Is it as simple as that where, like, when did, for you, did it feel like the game finally slowed down?
Actually, you know, I think when I got sent back down.
Really?
Yeah, and then when I got called back up, I kind of knew what to expect, and that's what helped me to get to that moment. Because, you know, you're always, when you first get caught up to the league, you're always trying to, you know, show everybody what you got and trying to do way too much. Mm. And when you shouldn't, you know, you got to trust what got you there. And, you know, I think when I got sent down, it was kind of, you know, given my time to be able to, that period was when I could, you know, look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, you know, next time I go up there, I know what to expect, and to being able to prepare myself for that moment.
I know you've probably been asked this before about what you value the most, and like wins, right? Okay, wins. But
how's it going?
You know, now we have so many stats and everything else, and I don't know if what you value statistically changed from when you first came up, when you're talking about now, to now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anything. For me personally, you know, statistics, I kind of go out there and just prepare myself each and every day, and you know, the numbers, You just trust your.
But if something's low, you're not like.
No.
Yeah. You know, so he's like, oh my goodness, my WOBA is low.
No. I go out there and just, like I said, I prepare myself every day to, you know, have good at bats and, you know, play good defense and whatever happens out there happens.
The last thing is one thing I wanted to ask you, because as I told you, like, knew your high school coach. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to scouts who scouted you for the draft, and they said one of the things they liked that you were a multi-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. So this is an educational thing for kids. Like, yeah. Everyone's different, right? And AU is holy mackerel or whatever it is. I'm not saying it's bad, but for you, why was that the right thing?
It was really important for me. You know, I love baseball was my favorite sport to play. I kind of played basketball to stay in shape for baseball, and then I played football just to get stronger for baseball. But I think the aspects and the overall competitiveness in them other sports, I think, helped me in baseball. It's just different. You know, it's it was big for me to play them other three sports. If there's any advice out there, you know, I would say to play multiple sports.
Right.
I think, it helps you, you know, mentally focus and, physically as well.
I appreciate Mike Trout jumping on Baseballs and Boring for the first time. Now, another newcomer, Joe Adell. Joe Adell was the 10th overall pick in the 2017 draft. As we mentioned, when he was called up, he was the second overall prospect in all of baseball. There's been some bumps in the road, no question about it, some lessons learned since that initial promotion. But that's why I think that it's important to talk to a guy like Joe. And he's excellent when he gives honest insight into how all his experiences helped him to land where he's currently landing, which is in the outfield with the Angels. He's trying to find the firm footing. And he's only doing it now off of all those experiences. You get called up, you're a top prospect, all is well. Everyone's psyched for you. But that's not always going to translate into immediate success. As we said, look at this, the brief sample size we have with Jackson Holliday right now. All right, well, remember everybody, rate, review, subscribe. Subscribe. You subscribe, pops up in your phone, you hit play, it's easy. Every single day, Baseballs and Boring, multiple times a day. And, of course, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring, Twitter account, Instagram account. All right, let's finish off this great topic with a great conversation with Angels outfielder Joe Adell.
You have the months going in the draft. This isn't like football where you can, like, skip a bowl game. You have to keep playing, right? You kind of know where you think you're going to go, but you don't have an idea. Is it a stressful time for you?
I think, you know, for me, I was drafted out of high school in 17, so I was pretty positive about, you know, the draft, but I also knew that I had kind of that backup plan, you know, for college, so I knew that if things didn't work out the way that I thought that they would, that I still had an opportunity to go play baseball at the next level, even if it wasn't professionally. But I think at the end of the day, yeah, it is a little bit stressful. You are thinking about all the different outcomes, the teams that are in play. You know, obviously teams can change their mind. You know, you're not, you know, you don't have the magic wand. So it is a time where you are thinking about a lot of different scenarios and a lot of different outcomes, but also you're trying to be real with yourself and know that at the end of the day, everything is going to happen for a reason and you're going to be where you're supposed to be.
Did you land where you, looking back, did you land where you thought you would? I mean, because again, like it's even worse than ever, right? Because there's so much internet, there's so much social media, there's so much everything, and everyone's predicting everything. I don't know for you if you were able to not pay attention to that, or if you knew where you kind of were going to land. How did that shake out?
I think it was one of those things where, you know, there was multiple teams at play, but I think for me, you know, I ended up going in a situation where, you know, I was, you know, taken and available by the team that, you know, that wanted me. And, you know, that's really all you can ask for at the time. And so, you know, I was lucky for that to be my situation. And, you know, here I am now. So I think at the end of the day, everything's going to happen for a reason. Some guys are taken to a team and, you know, they get traded and ends up being a better situation after they get traded or whatever the case is. But I think baseball has that effect where if you're not right where you're supposed to be right off the bat, at some point you will be. So you just trust and believe in that process.
Looking back when you reach the major leagues to when you're drafted, because when you're drafted, you're like, okay, here we go, professional baseball player. And then when you make the major leagues, looking back at that now, like, what a huge jump that is in that, whatever it was for you, is what, 2 years, two and a half years?
It was about three and a half years.
So looking back, how big a jump when you get to the major leagues, how big a jump is that? And then how big a jump is it even when you get to the major leagues that first year?
That's a huge jump. I mean, I think the biggest thing about the major leagues that I think I didn't know right off the bat, obviously, until I got here and a couple years after, your opponents, they know everything about you. You know what I mean? I think that's like something that's completely different as opposed to other levels in the minor leagues. At this level, they do homework like nobody's business. You know what I mean? So if there's any part of your game that's, you know, not right or anything you struggle with or any pitch at the plate that you don't see very well, they're going to know it. And I think that's like when they talk about the game of adjusting and adjusting back, that's the biggest part of this game is, you know, you're finding opponent weaknesses in every little aspect of the game all the time.
Was that shocking for you?
Yeah. It was a wake-up call just because I was like, there's no way this guy's going to throw this slider in this count. And sure enough, you get that pitch. And again, it's the adjustment of it. It's the adjustment of the entire thing. You know, you go get punched in the mouth here, you've got to be able to find a way to change something, get back on your feet and do something about it. So I think over the past couple of years, you know, I've been around it now at this level. I respect it, but it is a different beast.
I mean, you're so talented and had so much success. It's like, I've talked to other guys about this. Royce Lewis, I talked in spring training about it. Like, when you go through adversity, when you're going through the adversity that you have to go through the majors, is like an adversity you probably never experienced in your life, right?
Yeah, it's completely different. It's a completely different thing. And I think, you know, it's just like anything else you do at the highest level. You know, it's like just like any other job that requires, you know, you're 100% focused and 100% effort. It's, you know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to have days where it doesn't go well, and it's going to have times where you have to reevaluate and figure out what are your adjustments going to be. But that's what brings us to the park. That's why we're here. That's what we're about. You know, we're about those adjustments and making it better. And so that's what this is.
Last question, this cliche question, but what are you better at now than even a year ago? What do you feel like? You talk about all these adjustments.
Yeah.
And you're a great player in the major leagues, but we all get better every single year. For you, looking back a year ago, what are you better at?
Defensively, I've gotten much better. It was something that I struggled with early on. Really weird, though, because, you know, early on in my minor league career, I didn't struggle defensively. I struggled defensively once I got to the major leagues, which was kind of an interesting thing for me because I always played good defense. But the balls are hit a little bit harder. The reads are a little bit different in the field. And, you know, I finally have got my feet under me where I feel comfortable with the plays that I'm making and really excited about where that's come in a short period of time. So that's something right off the bat that, you know, I can step forward and say that, you know, I've improved like no other.
I lied because now I have to ask, because I've been talking to other guys, young players, about, hey, you were a good fielder in the minors and in the majors. Is it just that the balls consistently are hit hard, you know, harder than they are when you're coming up?
I think more so I'm an outfielder, so, you know, you're taking into account how you're reading fly balls. They're a little bit different when you're playing in stadiums with third decks. The ball reads a little bit differently, and so you have to be able to adjust to that. The other thing is on a more consistent basis, the ball is hit harder. So you're making plays a little bit faster than you normally would make. And so for me, it's, you know, more than anything, whether how high the ball is hit, how hard it is, what type of stadium you're playing in, not every play is a Superman play. What I mean by that is that most of plays require you to prevent the runner from advancing. You know what I mean? So that means whatever I have to do to try to be quick on my feet and get the ball into my cut and make sure that players don't advance extra bases is probably bigger than anything in the major leagues. Because all we're trying to do is prevent extra bases at any point in time. And so once my focus shifted from trying to make the great play to make the routine play and prevent, you know, runners from advancing, that's when, you know, I leveled my game up a little bit.
I feel like we've educated a lot of young minds today.
Thank you. Thanks.